This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org. We're joined today by Yolanda Richardson, Vice President for International Programs at the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. Ms. Richardson joined us today at CSIS for a discussion on the future of global tobacco control. Thank you so much for joining us today. At Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, you focus on helping countries fulfill their obligation under the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. What factors lead countries to be successful in tobacco control?
I think tobacco control is not unlike other sort of global health issues or not unlike other development issues as well. What really makes a difference in terms of making sure tobacco control happens in a country is really having the political leadership at the highest levels that's then able to make the full machinery of the government work at state or regional or sub-regional level so that you have the full weight of the government behind whatever you're trying to accomplish in the country. The countries that have been most successful have had that leadership. A couple of obvious ones, Uruguay, which has by far been the global leader on tobacco control, really did make substantial progress because they had a visionary president. Similarly, in Brazil, there was a very visionary Ministry of Health that drove a lot of the tobacco control policies, and Brazil was able to halve its prevalence rate within a fairly short period of time. So in country after country, what we've seen is if you've got the political leadership putting the full weight of the government machinery behind tobacco control policy change, it happens.
And what have you seen as the greatest achievements of the Framework Convention? And where will we likely see the next big wins in tobacco control?
Yeah, I think the greatest achievements of, you know, it's a fairly young treaty. It's only 5 years since its ratification. So I think the greatest achievements have been just its rapid ratification in country after country. 172 countries now have adopted the Framework Convention. It serves as a global blueprint for how to do effective tobacco control. So it really does help focus, I think, national governments on what are the things that makes the most sense in terms of tobacco control. Luckily, in tobacco control, the things that make a big difference are fairly cost-effective, and so that really helps in making governments make really tough decisions at the country level where they have many, many competing priorities. So that really does provide a really strong and powerful impetus for movement. The other thing I think that's really made a difference is the increased voice and role of civil society groups around the world who have really called on their governments and tried to hold their governments accountable to the commitments they've made from the Framework Convention. It's nice when I travel to go around and see very different, very diverse voices that are really coming out in support of tobacco control in very different places. So you'll have victims of tobacco control really rallying to make sure policymakers understand the toll that tobacco control has taken on them personally. You'll go to some countries where environmental groups have been really active and engaged on tobacco control. Women's groups have often been involved in tobacco control. And then, of course, the very obvious public health organizations that exist in countries have been really served as a voice for moving tobacco control policy. So I think it's a fairly optimistic scenario that we're making rapid progress. I'm hoping that continues. I'm hoping the pace picks up. But overall, I think given that we've just had a treaty in place for 5 years, you're seeing some real remarkable signs of progress around the world.
And speaking to that progress and the momentum currently behind tobacco control, there's a lot of momentum in addition because of the upcoming UN high-level meeting in September. And this meeting, although it provides a lot of momentum, it's not necessarily a guarantee to move efforts forward. What do you see as the greatest challenge facing tobacco control efforts?
Globally, the more obvious one is just the power and strength and breadth of the tobacco industry. Tobacco control is unlike other public health problems in the sense that it has a main private sector partner who's trying to constantly market and push the use of tobacco, and so therefore to try to come up against that, we often are very resource constrained in a way that the tobacco industry is not. So it's a formidable foe when we're trying to make sure that governments try to reach their commitments under the Framework Convention. And many times that political will is dampened because you have the tobacco industry making arguments about, decreased productivity in a country, the fact that it's unpopular, the there's a whole laundry list of kind of particular arguments and strategies that the tobacco industry has used, and fairly effectively. They don't change very much from country to country, but when they're in a country, they're new to that country, and so each country grapples with that in their own way. And I think the tobacco industry has sort of been far out ahead. They, 10, 20 years ago, really made the commitment to sort of begin to explore global markets, and so they're out in front of the tobacco control movement in many ways by already having in place people on the ground and relationships developed with governments that, you know, allow them access in ways that tobacco advocates are only just beginning to have. So they are by far the biggest impediment to progress moving forward in terms of tobacco control. The other one that is really important is just kind of making sure that countries, once they have the commitment, have the capacity to implement, you know, tobacco control policies in the countries where they are. So making sure that they can put in place really good and strong regulatory frameworks to make sure that taxes are collected if taxes are raised, making sure that they can provide cessation services if there's a commitment to have that done, and just making sure that all of the other things that make sure that tobacco control policies are effectively implemented happen. And so countries are, again, struggling to make those priorities in competition with other kinds of health priorities and other development priorities.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
For all of those who are listening and are interested in watching the full event, please visit www.smartglobalhealth.org.